You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
Good morning. Good morning. It's 10:35 here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We're joined now by Terrence A. Gross. Good morning, Terrence.
Good morning, glad to be here with you.
Well, I'm super excited. We haven't been able to chat for a while, so I'm excited to catch up and see what's new and hear what you're going to teach us about today.
Well, first I'll introduce myself again, and then I'd love to give a little spiel. And actually, one of your listeners came in this week and retained me on our injury case. That's always nice. And if they wish to call us for an appointment on any type of injury case, I think they could do it at 850-434-3333 or visit us on our website, grossandschuster.com. We have five offices throughout Florida's Panhandle. Our principal office is here in Pensacola on the corner of Palafox and Cervantes. It's the former Board of Health, so it looks like a small courthouse. It's a historic Pensacola building built in 1915, and we've been in it since 2010. And, of course, we have offices in Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. I'm also celebrating a good event. This is October. So in October 1979, I was sworn in as a lawyer with the Florida Bar. So I'm now celebrating 42 years of practice. I now have both my sons in with me and my son-in-law. So I got some great young men that are assisting me to help the public with all these cases. And we all specialize in personal injury. That's all we do. One of my sons does a fair amount of slip falls. We do some dog bites, but 90-95% of everything we do are car wrecks, because that's the most common mechanism of an injury. So I do have a topic today, and if anybody wants to call us, what number could they call at?
Yes, please, if you'd like to hop on into the conversation, 850-437-1620. You can text or call.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to bring up something I've talked about probably with Wendy Summers maybe 10 years ago on your show. It's been a long time. But it keeps on coming up, and I'm surprised on casual conversations or whatever, every now and then somebody will mention the McDonald's coffee spill case. But I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, absolutely. I remember, and, you know, I thought it was a little different.
Well, tell me your thoughts, because I'm really putting you on the spot. You didn't know I was going to do this to you.
No.
Totally catching you off guard. But tell me, just from innuendo, what do you think you know, and what are your sort of impressions? What do you think you know, and what's your takeaway from the coffee spill?
Well, from an avid coffee drinker since I was about 15, and an avid hot coffee drinker, it was a little surprising and alarming to me, because it just seemed like a little bit of a cop-out for an individual to become that enraged and, you know, want to go after a company, especially like McDonald's, that serves millions of cups of coffee every day, hot cups. I thought it was ridiculous. And also, I will say, there have been times that, you know, the lid wasn't put on tight on my hot cups, and they've spilled a little bit, and I notice, and you're like, hey, will you give me a new lid or pour some of this out, because it's just too much, I'm going to burn myself. And so it's happened. There's just different ways to handle things. That I felt was just too extreme, a little bit too ridiculous. You knew it was hot. You have to be careful. We spill things. Accidents happen like that. But to blame it on being hot coffee and then having lids changed that say, careful, this is hot, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. I was a little bit like, okay, it was a little much here.
Well, let me just tell you this, that your opinions that you espouse are consistent with 98% of America. You are right there, and the vast majority of your opinions are there. But I'm in the 2%. Now, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Yes, hold on. Let me state my case, Judge, before you give the opinion. And here's what happened. This actually happened, I think, in the late 80s. And all people knew is what you know. It was across America, every newspaper, on the TV. Woman spills coffee in her lap and gets $2.2 million verdict. And everybody was incensed. What is wrong with our jury system? These dumb juries, these greedy lawyers. And everybody jumped on the train, everybody. Mm. And all the legislators did. And every state started passing legislation, putting caps on damages, because we can no longer trust these dumb juries that are just giving away money. And that was the case. That was the model for tort reform in every state, even the state of Florida. They passed a $500,000 cap on damages on all medical malpractice cases. But guess what? Hmm. Guess what?
Tell me.
Are you old enough to remember Paul Harvey? Do you remember who Paul Harvey was?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. Remember? Okay. He was the TV conservative talk show person, TV show.
Yes.
And he'd always give a blurb, and then he'd go, "And now for the rest of the story."
Yes.
And that was his famous line. Now you're going to really know what happened. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story and see if I change your opinion that you have, like everybody else, on the McDonald's coffee spill. Let me see.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Here's
yes.
what really happened. Here's what happened. Here's the truth. So a man who is probably in his 60s mm-hmm. pulls up to the drive-thru of a McDonald's. In the car with them is his 80-something-year-old mother sitting in the front passenger seat. They order wherever they're ordering, including coffee. He hands the coffee to her. She puts the coffee between her legs, like a lot of us may do if we're trying to maybe get situated or maybe open up a McMuffin or something else. And so she rests the coffee in her crotch, we'll call it, and he takes off. Now, when he took off, I don't know if he just had a jolt or hit a bump. I don't know what happened. But whatever happened, the coffee spilled in her crotch. Okay? Well, this 80-something-year-old lady got first-degree burns, ended up with three different sets of plastic surgery.
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking about skin grafts on her labia, on her vagina. We're talking about major surgeries. Bills were over $200,000. Now, did these people go running to a lawyer? No. They contacted McDonald's, explained what happened, and McDonald's said, "Go take a hike." They do get a lawyer. The lawyer contacts them, and the lawyer says, "Hey, this lady, this is what happened. She's got over 200 something thousand in bills. Do you want to do something about this?" McDonald's said, "Go take a hike." So he did take a hike. The lawyer took a hike, and he hiked to the courthouse and filed a lawsuit. So he files this lawsuit, and once you file a lawsuit, guess what you get? You get subpoena power. You get subpoenas. Mm-hmm. And this lawyer, who must have been pretty good, started subpoenaing all things, and guess what the lawyer learned? This is what he learned after years of litigation and subpoenas and deposing corporate officers. They found out that McDonald's at that time, nationwide, all the McDonald's, I don't know how many locations there were, 50,000, whatever there is. Hell, we got 6 or 8 just in Pensacola. So all the locations across America, they had started a program. And the program was unlimited refills of your coffee. You go buy a McMuffin and a cup of coffee, and you can sit around and have as many cups as you want. Why would they do that? Because they want to get you in. They don't want you going to Wendy's and Burger King and all that. They wanted to get you to come to McDonald's for unlimited free coffee. Great program. It worked. But from the corporate level, they decided, wait a second. We really don't want Joe Blow really, truthfully, drinking 4 or 5 cups of coffee. That's not good for our bottom line. So why don't we do this? Why don't we intentionally make the coffee so hot, make it beyond the industry standards. And I can't remember the degrees, so I'll just say if it was supposed to be at 140 or whatever it was,
right,
they had it at 180. They intentionally overheated the coffee on purpose, so that it was so hot that you couldn't gulp it down, that you'd have to sip and blow and sip and blow. So maybe you'd only have one refill, possibly, or maybe no refills. And that way they got to have their cake and eat it too. They got you in for the extra business that really didn't have to give away all this free coffee. And he further found out in that same year that there were hundreds of burns across the United States at various McDonald's from this scalding coffee. Most of the burns were probably on your hands, so maybe it wasn't that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But given a set of facts to hit that raw area, that sensitive area of the woman's anatomy, it had really bad consequences, leading to three different sets of plastic surgeries. So the jury heard all this. The jury heard facts that you're now learning for the first time, even though this happened 20, 30 years ago, whenever it was, you're just now learning. I've read the facts. I've read the parts of this case, so I'm not making this up. And this is what really happened. But the jury heard it. But all we heard as American citizens was some news reporter, or whoever it was, picks up the case, and there's coffee spill gets $2 million, and you're thinking, oh, my God, another frivolous case. Somebody, you know, they didn't put the lid on right, and they get sued for $2 million. You've got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. So everybody, including you, who just provided the facts, has assumed all along that, and it became the poster child, wrongfully, but it became the poster child for tort reform. We need to, and across the nation, it was used. The insurance companies loved it, and they took this case and they just wrote it all the way out. And so every state started putting caps on damages and this and that and everything they could to prevent juries from giving high verdicts, even for just cases. And I'll go to you if we take that analysis. So Florida used it and did get that cap on damages on medical malpractice. So $500,000 for cap of what they call non-economics. That means pain and suffering, mental anguish. And right after that happened, let me tell you two cases that happened in Florida because they went up on appeal. One of them, a doctor was delivering a baby, and as the healthy baby came out, the doctor dropped the baby on his head. It happened. It was an accident. But the baby survived, but permanent brain damage, a perfectly healthy baby now with permanent brain damage in a wheelchair, you have a child now that you have to raise that will never run, that will never go to school, that will never, you know, all these things that you dream about having a baby, and here's the parents, $500,000, have a nice day. $500,000 without going to a jury, doesn't matter how much insurance the doctor had. The doctor could have had millions of insurance, doesn't matter. Predetermined, we don't trust juries, $500,000 cap.
Wow.
Another case that happened in Gainesville, a man has a cancerous leg. The doctor says, sir, if you want to live, we're going to have to amputate your leg above the knee if you want to live. Otherwise, this cancer is going to spread throughout your body. The man makes the wise and reluctant decision to let them take his leg, you know, his diseased right leg. He wakes up after surgery and looks down. They've taken his left leg. They took the wrong leg. Well, they're still going to take the bad leg. Yes, they still got to take the other leg. So you go from being a single amputee that you signed up for. He signed up in surgery to be a single amputee to save his life. But now, because the doctor doesn't know left from right, he's a double amputee. And a single amputee, you get a prosthesis and get around, you know, a lot better. We see people, double amputee, not as easy, and you've lost a good leg. And here's your $500,000. Have a nice day, because we don't trust juries to do the right thing, even though this was a hospital and a doctor and probably millions of dollars in insurance. Here's your $500,000. Have a nice day. And
wow.
thankfully in Florida, I can't tell you the exact year, but I'm going to guess in the past 6, 7, 8 years, the Florida Supreme Court reviewed that medical practice cap, and they threw it out. Florida, the Supreme Court did the right thing and threw it out because he said that cap was arbitrary and capricious, and it also robbed the jury of the right to decide, because it's a jury system. Are we going to have a jury system or not? And if you usurp that, it'd be like in a criminal case, if the jury says something, that the judge can't just insert his opinion over the jury. Otherwise, then why have jury trials? Why not just make it all judge trials or whatever? And so if we're going to have a jury system, they should be allowed to make these decisions subject, you know, there are appeals and stuff or whatever. But at the end of the day, all this happened, and it wasn't just our state. Texas has had a lot of tort reform. All the states across the United States, you know, caps here, caps there, limitations here. And it goes back to whatever, but they took that McDonald's coffee spill case and they wrote it. They wrote it, and they wrote it with no facts. They just fed the public, like you and everybody else. They fed everybody a couple little sentences, and
oh,
you go
right.
away shaking your head. You look at your husband and go, I can't believe this. Yeah. She spills some coffee and gets 2.0 million. And what's worse than that, than all the tort reform, is the average juror. What about people like you? So maybe before we had this conversation, what if you went to court and you're listening to a case, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm not going to be like one of those dumb McDonald coffee case jurors. They're not going to dupe me into giving away all this money. Mm. And you go in with a kind of like a pre-mindset, you know, a preconceived notion that if I ever am subpoenaed as a juror, I'm not going to let somebody bamboozle me into giving away a lot of money on somebody that may be faking or whatever. And I think it's affected the jury pools. I think it affected jury verdicts. Maybe not so much today, but at that time, people were thinking about that. They're probably during their deliberations, even though it was a car wreck. I bet you in a lot of courtrooms in America, when the jury went back, there was at least one of the juries saying, well, what about that McDonald's coffee spill case?
Right.
You know, here we are again with another injury. So I think it poured over into it. I think that some of the public had a knee-jerk reaction because of the McDonald's case, but they didn't even know the facts. They didn't know the real, truthful facts.
That's true.
So,
people weren't given all of the facts. And in fact, we've got a couple of messages coming in, and one of them actually, before you even were sharing about how hot the coffee was and how she was burned and how old she was, which, you know, and I'm going to say, when you were watching TV back then, they didn't give all of that information. But one of our listeners commented that, yes, McDonald's was serving coffee much hotter than the standard safe temperature because they wanted to stay hot until customers reached their destination. But you also expanded on that they didn't want customers completely taking advantage of the unlimited coffee. And this listener said that they studied this when they were doing healthcare law at UWF. Another listener commented and said that the coffee settlement was based on one day of coffee sales. So there's a lot, like, you know, unless you kind of dig deeper into the case, and which is a good reminder to not just take everything at face value when you watch it on TV or see it on the internet, kind of dig deeper a little bit if you want to get that information. But that makes me, yes, okay, Terrence, you got me. Of course, now I feel terrible that I was like, what's the big deal? Plus, I haven't thought about this in a long time. But yeah, that is so sad and absolutely terrible. And I don't like how, you know, McDonald's was trying to cheat the system, and in the end it hurt somebody, and she went through some horrific trauma because of it, and that's just not okay. Coffee should never be that hot where you get that terrible of a burn and go through all the skin grafts and all of that plastic surgery. So, man, okay, you changed my heart. You did it. Thank you very much.
Well, but I got bad news for you.
Okay, now
I'm
going to
play Paul Harvey again.
Oh,
I got more bad news.
Tell me. You're taking me on a roller coaster ride today.
I am. And still back to Paul Harvey. And now the final rest of the story. So she got this $2-point-something million verdict. Did McDonald's pay her? No. They appealed. And she got older, and she got older, and she got older. Years go by, and finally they just gave up, and they settled the thing. It was non-disclosed. It's supposed to be a confidential settlement, but the word on the street among lawyers, you know, whatever, it's my understanding that they settled for somewhere around $250,000, basically her legal cost and medical bills. So she probably never got nothing. So
wow.
That's the end of the story. So it's not even like she got some kind of lottery ticket or whatever. From what I understand, she got nothing for all she went through. But again, it became the poster child. And I would say this, not to toot lawyers' horns, but you know, a lot of people are anti-lawyer to call us ambulance chasers and whatever. But if it weren't for lawsuits and lawyers, America wouldn't be as safe. So obviously, this lawsuit ended that program and others like it. We had the McDonald's coffee spill, the McDonald's rear-end collision case back in the day in the 80s. There were Ford Pintos everywhere, millions of them, and there used to never be a recall. I never heard of a recall when I was in my 20s or something. Now they're common. Why are they common? Because of lawsuits. So some poor boy was in his Pinto. They had there should have been a recall because they found out that the gas tanks were combustible at a mild impact. And for $200-something, they could change out the gas tank or fix it. They chose not to. Ford chose purposely not to. And as a result, this guy got bumped in the rear, and the car exploded. He lost 90% of the skin on his body. And it did result in some verdict. I forget, $20-something million verdict, punitive damages and whatever. But here's a normal boy with 90% of his skin on his body burned. Just off of the worst kind of injury you can imagine and survive, and all because they chose to save a couple $100 per Pinto. So now, as you see, we get these recall notices. So it's not like they're just being so nice or whatever. They know if they don't do the recall that they're subject to lawsuits. So the threat of lawsuits has made America safer from everywhere that you can imagine. With all the safety devices, wet floor signs, whatever you see is probably the product of litigation or the fear of litigation. Mm. But because of that, because of the mats and the wet floor signs, less people are falling, less people are getting injured, and so forth. And so it's just the end product that nobody really thinks of that or whatever. So I'm really glad that some of the people responded. So when I said 98%, maybe I was wrong. It sounds like a few more people than I thought knew about this McDonald's thing, and maybe because they did study it in a college course or whatever, so they verified exactly what I'm saying. They already knew it. But the vast majority of people don't, like yourself. So don't beat yourself up. So unless you took a course or something in college, how would you even know this?
Right.
And so don't beat yourself up.
Hey, but hey, thank you for shedding light on that and also reminding us that, yeah, a lot of things we see, just like caution, wet floor, things like that, are safety precautions also to protect not just you, but somebody else who could be liable for your injuries. So, Terrence, thank you so much for bringing this to us today. That was actually a lot of fun. I wasn't really that, you know, it was a little sad, I'm not going to lie, but that was really good. And thank you for putting me on the spot. I actually enjoy it. It's good for my brain.
Well, it's good. And if anybody wants to call me, it's 850-434-3333 or visit me on my website at grossandschuster.com. We'd love to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terrence, so much. Hope y'all had an amazing morning. Thank you for hanging out with me. Tomorrow morning, we'll hear a little bit more from Lisa Murphy with Southern Climate Solutions. Text in your questions, 850-437-1620. We'll see you then.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's 11 o'clock.